Revelation chapter 16, and we covered a lot of that chapter and chapter 15. We went through pretty quick, but we're going to look at a particular verse that I believe is very, very important in the text. And it's interesting. It's parenthetical. It's almost like a parenthesis within a parenthesis, and that is verse 15. And I want to actually slow down and camp out on that verse for a little bit, because I believe that this is something that you need to apply. You need to understand in light of everything we've been studying in the book of Revelation, that we need to be acutely aware of what Jesus is saying here. And it is Jesus speaking here in verse 15. And we need to understand what he's saying because, well, let's read the verse. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. I'm not even sure that I'm going to be able to. In fact, I'm almost sure that I'm not going to be able to actually exegete that particular verse. We're going to use it as a springboard to look at what Jesus has taught throughout the scripture, what the apostles teach on Jesus coming back like a thief. And this will be part of that teaching, but I'm anticipating doing two parts on this because this is such a vital subject, and it's very devotional in respect to, and theological, in respect to what relationship we are to have with Jesus and his coming, the concept of readiness and being alert for his return, not being found naked without our clothes on, spiritually speaking, not being found asleep like 5 of the 10 virgins when he came and were shut out from the kingdom. This is important. In fact, the name of our fellowship is called Blessed Hope Chapel. And if you haven't thought about it much or you're newer, that comes from the book of Titus, Paul's letter to a pastor by the name of Titus, where he admonished him to live soberly, righteously in this present dark world, and looking for the blessed hope, right? The coming of our great God, the appearing, he says. Not a secret rapture, but the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love that verse. And the reason we named this fellowship Blessed Hope Chapel is because Jesus is our blessed hope. And there's such a wonderful emphasis on Jesus not only being our Savior, but being our God in that verse, affirming his deity, who he is, his person, and affirming the fact that he's coming and that we're looking to be with the hope of our salvation forever and ever. Amen. So we look forward to it. So this fellowship has always had a focal point of Jesus' second coming from its inception and the very naming of the church. However, there's a lot of controversy in regard to his coming and what it means to be ready and what we're supposed to be looking for and what have you. And that's an area where you don't want to be educated in the wrong way, because Jesus warned about a lot of deception regarding his return. False Christ, false prophets, not wanting us not to think the end was coming when it wasn't, the end is not yet, not wanting us to think some events are before other events. All these things are emphasized in the scripture quite plainly. But here in verse 15 of Revelation 16, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. He is coming back like a thief in the night. In fact, that term thief in the night is used a couple times in scripture as well by Jesus himself, by the apostle Paul. And this concept I'm riveted with, because there's 7 times this verse, or I should say this concept of Jesus coming back like a thief, is used in scripture. 7, as you know, is the number of completion, and it's just interesting to me that we find this thief warning in seven different verses. And it's interesting here that we have a blessing for the one who stays awake. Blessing, that's a beatitude. There are 7 beatitudes or blessings in the book of Revelation as well. In fact, one of these blessings comes with one of the 7 mentions of Jesus coming like a thief in the New Testament. And it's interesting that Jesus warns about himself coming like a thief in the warning at the beginning of the book of Revelation, chapter 3, to the church of Sardis, as well as near the end here in chapter 16. So it's thematic within the book of Revelation as well. So we want to understand, what does it mean to be ready so we're not caught without our clothes on? So we're not caught sleeping. I remember, how many remember Northridge earthquake? If you lived in California at the time, you remember it. It's pretty radical, wasn't it? I mean, I remember getting my wife and going underneath the kitchen table and hearing glasses breaking like crazy coming out of our cupboards and stuff. And I remember telling my wife while it was shaking, I said, wherever that epicenter is, if it's far away, those people are absolutely devastated. Well, the epicenter wasn't too far away, but it was quite devastating. And I remember reading the next day in the newspaper, that's when we still use newspapers a little bit, about a guy in a hotel during the earthquake, you know, when they got the lights back on, you know, right after the earthquake, and lights went back on, and the guy in the hotel was down in the lobby stark naked and, you know, just caught unaware because he freaked out, you know. And I thought, how embarrassing, but not as bad as what's going to happen at Christ's second coming when he returns, if you're caught naked and sleeping. We want to make sure we're ready when Jesus comes like a thief. Why is this so important? Because, as I said, Jesus mentions it over and over again. Listen to what he states. Listen to the seven references in the scripture, Matthew 24:43, in the Olivet Discourse. Jesus says, but understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. A similar warning, but not in the Olivet Discourse, is in Luke chapter 12, verse 39. It's not chronological in the way your Bible books work out, because this statement was actually uttered before he stated that he's coming like a thief in the night in the Olivet Discourse, but in Luke 12, 39. But understand this, says Jesus, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You say, well, that's pretty much the same thing. Yeah, and Jesus taught it more than once to his disciples, once on the Mount of Olives, and once prior to that, emphasizing the importance of this doctrine. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, Paul warns the church of Thessalonica, quote, but you brothers are not in darkness, so that day should surprise you like a thief. I'm sorry, I jumped to verse 4. Verse 2 says, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And then in verse 4, the fourth reference, but you brothers are not in darkness, that day should surprise you like a thief. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, another reference by Peter. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Wow. Revelation 3:3 to the church of Sardis, Jesus states, remember therefore what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Wow. And of course, in Revelation 16:15, behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. Now, I find it interesting that this argument of Jesus coming like a thief is used over and over again to teach that means he's coming any moment, at any second. And it could happen today. Often pastors will say, hey, Jesus can come back before this service ends. Often it's taught that him coming like a thief means, well, since it's the idea there appears to be, at least on the surface, unexpectedly, that we'd be ready every single second for his return. And then it's pressed to state that this has nothing to do with the second coming of Christ at the end of the world, because it stated there's signs for his second coming, and him coming back like a thief is signless. It's going to be a pre-trib rapture. And you shouldn't be looking for any signs for the pre-trib rapture, because there's no signs for the pre-trib rapture, because it could happen any second. Therefore, the signs that Jesus gave that come before his second coming really aren't for the church. That's for people after the pre-trib rapture. And therefore, we're not supposed to really look for the signs of his coming, because there's no signs for the rapture. And that could happen at any moment. And therefore, this thief metaphor, the imagery that Jesus uses, the entire thief motif is used by many pre-tribs to emphasize, hey, he can come any second. You need to be ready right now, any second. And is that accurate? Is that what the scriptures are teaching? In fact, does anybody remember the first pre-trib movie that ever came out? You know what it was called? Left Behind's a lot later. It's called A Thief in the Night. A Thief in the Night. And it did quite well. They estimate that over 300 million people were indoctrinated by, saw the movie, you know. And in our new video, Left Behind or Led Astray, where we examine the pre-trib origins, just came out a week and a half ago. It starts off, not the movie itself, but our trailer for that, which is like a 5-minute trailer. It starts off with the clock ticking and a scene from A Thief in the Night, the movie. It had a lot of movies that followed it, other thief movies by the same makers, A Distant Thunder, Image of the Beast, The Prodigal Planet. Tim LaHaye, by the way, you mentioned Left Behind. Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins, who wrote the Left Behind series, which became movies as well, stated that this the Thief in the Night movies inspired their series, which is also based on a rapture where people are left behind after Jesus comes like a thief in the night for a 7-year tribulation. Tommy Ice, who is the co-founder with Tim LaHaye, he's really Tim LaHaye's right-hand man, does a lot of his apologetics and answering for objections to their theory, the secret pre-trib rapture. Tommy Ice, who co-founded the Left Behind, pre-trib research center with Tim LaHaye, says this. He writes this, quote, "Even though I had grown up in the church, I was first introduced to Bible prophecy and the rapture during the time when I was in my late teens. There was an air of expectancy that Christ would really come for his church at any moment." Catch the idea, any moment. That means not a tribulation to go through first, "which I have not seen since that time. Back then, many were waiting for the coming of the Lord while reaching out to lost with the gospel so that they would not miss the rapture." Dalton's A Thief in the Night, speaking of the movie, he says, taught the pre-trib rapture, and it does, and was also a catalyst that saw many people come to Christ through its showing. Dalton depicts the rapture as coming as a thief in the night. Starting in 1969, America witnessed the rise of what was called the Jesus rock music arriving on the scene. The focus of a great deal of their music included the belief that Jesus is coming back soon and you better trust him as Savior so you won't miss the rapture. The whole idea there is, you know, so the rapture happened like a thief in the night, supposedly before the tribulation, and then your punishment for missing the rapture is you have to go through that tribulation period. In fact, many pre-trib leaders have used the fear tactic that, you know, hey, you're going to have to be here for the tribulation if you don't come to Christ and so forth. And actually, the Bible never says come to Christ so you can miss the tribulation. That's never part of a salvation call in all of the Scripture. In fact, to me, there's a problem with that, because what if millions of people have bought in the idea that if I come to Jesus through watching A Thief in the Night movies and reading the Left Behind series, I won't have to go through the tribulation? And then all of a sudden they go through the tribulation. And that's part of the salvation package they bought into. What might their conclusion be? You know? Think about it, right? Especially when Tim LaHaye, author of the Left Behind series, says that if Jesus doesn't come back in a pre-trib rapture, the blessed hope, it's not the blessed hope, it's the blasted hope then. Well, you're setting people up for a fall, in my estimation. And that's very, 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 very serious. And we need to be really concerned about this. Now, also, on a very practical level, if Jesus taught us to watch for signs that herald his return, and these signs begin to take place in the generation of those who are supposed to look for them to herald his coming, if we're being told that the rapture, Jesus come like a thief in the night, is signless, how is our faith going to grow at that time? And if we're not believing that we could see the signs in the tribulation period, we could very easily discount that. No, that can't be the false prophet. That can't be the Antichrist, because we won't be here when that stuff happens. And the irony is those who emphasize the pre-trib rapture, rather than having people be made ready based on the signs, people won't be looking for signs and won't actually believe the things that are taking place are prophesied in Scripture, because they're being taught that the next great event on God's prophetic calendar is a pre-trib rapture. That can't be the Antichrist. No, this mark I put on my right hand, no, that's not the mark of the beast because we haven't been raptured yet. That happens after I'm raptured. Pretty scary, okay? And I think all of us agree here that times are getting really dark in our world, amen? I mean, look what's just been happening in our country. Think about it. With, you know, gay marriage becoming the law of the land throughout the entire country. And I just read this last week of you know, chaplains and in the military and so forth who are being let go because they won't sign that they can't take a stand for traditional marriage, you know? Wow. I mean, it's getting really dark, and scriptures tell us it'd be like Sodom and Egypt in the last days, the days of Lot and so forth, and a lot of other things that are going on that I don't have time to expound upon in this message, but we've talked about because we've been going through the book of Revelation. But one thing I've gathered from reading, and by the way, I state this at the beginning of our video and at the end of our video, this is an in-house debate among brethren, okay? Never treat someone who isn't, you know, post-trib or doesn't believe that the rapture is at the end of the tribulation as though they're not a Christian, okay? I talked to somebody who came here for years ago and said, I don't believe pre-tribbers are saved because they're just denying blatant scripture. And I said to this gal, I said, you know, she used to go to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and was pre-trib before she came to Blessed Hope. I said, when did you get saved? She goes, well, you know, and it was actually Doug Stebbleton witnessing to this gal years ago. And she said, well, when I received Jesus, I go, oh, but you were pre-trib not long after that. I go, when you switched to post-trib, is that the day you really got saved? She said, well, of course not. I go, well, quit treating other people that way, you know. Your belief in the time of the rapture does not determine whether or not you're trusting Jesus or not, although we do have to look at how we're handling the scripture and are we handling it sincerely, because that can reveal the heart in certain areas. So I'm not saying that that's not important, but I believe a lot of people inherit their theology. They believe it's scriptural because they're on milk and they're not studying the word, and they fall into these belief systems, and that's why we need to become more biblically literate. In fact, one thing I noticed when I've studied the thief in the night passages, and I've studied them from a pre-trib standpoint, I've read through a lot of pre-trib books, okay? As one thing I've noticed is five features about Jesus coming like a thief that are emphasized, they're features that are believed to surround him coming like a thief, that are emphasized by pre-tribs to try to show this is a pre-trib reference. And let me point out what these five are. I've jotted them down. These are the ones that I've discerned personally. Since Jesus comes like a thief, his coming must be secret, without warning, like a thief in the night. And if there's a tribulation first, would it really be secret? The argument goes. Number two, since Jesus comes like a thief, his coming must be signless. And therefore, before the signs that lead to the second coming, delineated in the Olivet Discourse in the book of Revelation. Number three, since Jesus is coming like a thief, it must be a surprise to the church. And therefore, it cannot be post-tribulational, which would alert the church and even the world to his return. Number four, since Jesus comes like a thief, the rapture must be any moment or imminent. Number five, since Jesus is coming like a thief, it must be not only secretive and signless and at any moment surprise to its victims. Therefore, it must be pre-tribulational, basically the conclusion of this thinking. Now, I will tell you that if you just listen to and read what they're saying about Jesus coming like a thief and making a whole movie on the pre-trib rapture based on it, and it has, by the way, I mean, the United States has been, most evangelical Christians on the popular level are pre-tribulational. It's really caught fire, this idea. And that's why I believe all the more we need to warn about it, because I do believe God's called me to preach the gospel, to strengthen believers, but I believe I'm called to do what the early church did. And you read in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, that they warned the churches. It says that they admonished them to continue in the faith. It's one thing I know we're called to. And that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Today, we're taught that you don't have to continue in the faith. Some are even teaching you could take the mark of the beast and still be a Christian or get saved after that. You know, repent later, just take it and buy and sell. And others are teaching that, well, some tribulation, but not the great tribulation. And the Bible says that God would rise up men in the last days to do mighty exploits and to inform people regarding the truth. I believe he's rising believers up, and more people are getting aware of what's going on. And I believe that we need to have ears to hear and eyes to see. Now, on the surface, the thief motif may seem compelling in emphasizing, you know, a secretive surprise that could be different than the second coming. But when you actually study the scripture and you look at the terms, you look at the context in which they're given, you find that is absolutely not the case. Not one of the seven references to Jesus coming like a thief in the night has anything to do with the pre-tribulation rapture, as you'll see. Absolutely not. In fact, they don't even allude to a pre-tribulational rapture. They're always, whenever there's a time stamp, whenever there's a time location, a reference to time regarding his return in any of the thief in the night or coming like a thief passages, it's always in a post-tribulational context. And you don't want to isolate a verse and say, hey, look, he's coming like a thief at night. And that means, no, you need to look at the verse in its context. You need to read what is said before the verse, what's said after the verse, understand the intent of the author, what his point is. Remember, a text without a context is a pretext, okay? We need to check out and see, you know, what a specific text says. But let me, in their own words, show you how some of the leading leaders in this the pre-trib movement through the years have used this thief message. Tim LaHaye's book titled The Merciful God of Prophecy. Tim LaHaye writes, listen carefully. Tim LaHaye writes, quote, "The rapture is the next major event on God's prophetic calendar." Do you catch that? The rapture is the next prophetic event on God's prophetic calendar. In other words, you're not going to see other signs that are on his calendar. The rapture is the next major event on God's prophetic calendar. By the way, absolutely contradicts 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul says, concerning Christ's coming and our being what? Gather together to him, right? He said, let no one deceive you by any means. He also said, the day of the Lord won't come until there, right after that, there comes a falling away first, and the what? Man of sins revealed in the temple, showing himself that he's God. That's midway through the week of 70th week of Daniel. That's at the 3.5 year point. So before he comes to gather us together to rapture us, Paul says, don't be deceived. It won't happen until the falling away and the Antichrist sits in the temple first, which takes you halfway through the tribulation, then beyond. And then in verse 8, a few verses later, it says, the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the spirit of his mouth and the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. Amazing. Anyway, let me read this whole quote. The rapture is the next major event on God's prophetic calendar. When will the rapture happen? I don't know, and neither does anyone else. Paul likened the Lord's, now listen, Paul likened the Lord's return to a thief in the night, 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Unexpected, unforeseen, sudden. The apostle borrowed the picture from the Lord himself, who told his disciples to be ready for his return at any time. For the Son of Man will come at an hour that you do not expect, like a thief, Luke 12:40. This is the first phase, listen to what he says. This is the first phase of the Lord's return. Catch that? In other words, the Lord's second coming, which the church had historically believed for 1,800 plus years, was at the end of the age. But pre-tribs say, well, really, there is a second and a third coming. Some will say there's actually a second and third coming. And others will say, well, it's still a second coming, but it's just another phase of a second coming. Because they know how ridiculous it sounds to say a second and third coming. But actually, you have to have a second and third coming, because when Jesus comes to rapture the church, Paul says the Lord will descend with a shout. Amen? And it says, and it speaks of the Lord coming. And then if you have him coming again 7 years later, which all pre-tribs do, now you have a second and a third coming. But Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28, says it's pointed, man wants to die, but after this judgment, it said the Lord appeared the first time in reference to sin, but in the second time, the context there is judgment. It wasn't a third time, a second in between a first and a third. And it's interesting. Well, how do you know there's not phases and we just don't understand? Because Paul said concerning Christ coming and our being gathered together to him, don't be deceived, it won't happen until what happens? The falling away and the Antichrist happens first. That's how we know that. That's how we know that. By the way, I go through in my notes, I'm going to spare you the points here, but I go through how all five things I say they do within to push the idea of the thief, five aspect, imminence and surprise and secrecy and these kinds of things. I then, in my own notes that I wrote, I break down what Tim LaHaye says, and he uses all five of those features. So does Dave Hunt, by the way. Dave Hunt, by the way, I loved, you know, Dave Hunt's passed on. He was I think Dave Hunt was a great man of God. I wrote for his, before it was called Berean Call, I used to write for Christian Information Bureau a little bit. And Dave I admire because he stood against a lot of the cult and occultic things that were, seeking to get into the church. And he was a great watchman in a lot of ways. But I disagree with him on this issue. And he writes in his book, When Will Jesus Come? Same kind of stuff we just read from Tim LaHaye. Quote, several times Christ's coming is likened to that of a thief who creeps in when all are asleep. Notice that, when all are asleep. So look, that doesn't say all are asleep, you know, when Christ comes like a thief. Peter writes, the day of the Lord will come as a thief. And Paul adds, a thief in the night. So he's quoting Jesus, or referring to Jesus' teaching. He's referring to Peter's. He's referring to Paul's. Dave goes on to write, a thief deliberately comes in such a time and manner that no one is aware of his presence. He secretly takes what he is after and leaves without anyone's knowledge. See that? No knowledge. Creeps in. No one sees it. Everybody misses it. They're all asleep. In like manner, the rapture will be a secret snatching away. There's a secrecy concept. A secret snatching away of a prize from this earth. Christ declared, behold, I come as a thief. And he quotes Revelation 16:15. By the way, I don't want to get ahead because Revelation 16:15, I'm going to get to next time we're in this study, which is next week. But just think of Revelation 16:15, where that verse warns like Jesus is coming like a thief. It's between the sixth and the seventh what? Bowl. It's in anticipation of what? His second coming in Revelation 19. It's way into the tribulation between the sixth bowl and the seventh bowl. The bowls are called the last of the wrath of God. It's at the very end. The world's preparing for Armageddon in verse 14, right before it. The demons have gone out to the kings of the earth. They're marching to Megiddo, right? And then we're told by Jesus, I'm coming like a thief, be ready. It's an anticipation of his second coming. It's so obvious when you look at the context, but I'm way ahead of myself. Okay, I just kind of saw where he's referencing, behold, I come like a thief, and he references Revelation 16:15. He says, secretly, like a thief, Christ will take out of this world his church. The world will not know it is happening until suddenly millions are missing. Those who complain that a secret rapture isn't biblical need to look at such scriptures again. Amen. Those who believe that Jesus coming like a thief is the preacher rapture need to look at the scriptures again. We all need to look at the scriptures and study them. Then I go through the same five features that Dave teaches, which I'm not going to go through each of them here and quote him because I just quotes enough. But Tim LaHaye and Dave Hunt together, just to these two quotes, there's others, but they use Luke 12:40. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, 2 Peter 3:10, Revelation 16:15. Let's look at the very first time. Now, we could go biblically. I mean, we could go chronologically from Matthew to Revelation, the way the Bible books appear in our New Testament. But I want to go chronologically in regard to when these were spoken in time by our Lord and the apostles. So actually, instead of Matthew, the first time Jesus during his ministry mentioned himself coming like a thief in the night is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Luke, chapter 12. So let's go to Luke, chapter 12. And I want to emphasize two things. What coming is Jesus talking about? And also, I want to talk about the nature of the warning in respect to us needing to practically make sure that we're ready, that we're not caught off guard, because a lot of people are going to be caught off guard. Jesus said in Luke 18, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Wow. Those are ominous words. Jesus said many would fall away from the faith. Matthew 24, 9 through 13, verse 13. The one who endures to the end, the same will be saved. Paul said that before the rapture, not only Antichrist would come, but there would be this apostasy, falling away from the faith, guys. And the world's going to become more and more corrupt, more and more lawless, more and more loveless, and people's hearts are going to go cold, their love's going to go cold, Jesus said. And we have to make sure that we keep our lamps lit. So I want to look at Luke chapter 12 with you, verse 35. Let's go ahead and read Luke 12, verse 35. and following. Verse 35, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Keep shining for Jesus, guys. Keep your lamps lit. Be ready. Be dressed in readiness. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Verse 38, whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. Verse 39, but be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. So here's the first thief reference that Jesus uses in his ministry. He uses a couple different analogies and, you know, parables and so forth. He uses the watchman guarding, could be in the second, third watch, need to be aware, need to be awake, need to be watchful. He uses the householder, need to make sure that he's aware when the thief would come, because if he's not aware, the house will be broke into and so forth. This is very, very important to examine. Now, let me say this. This is one of those cases, I said, whenever it gives a time reference in reference to the tribulation, it's always post-tribulational. But I didn't say that every time you see a thief in the night, it gives a specific time reference mentioning the tribulation and its relationship. So we have to discern by saying, okay, what is he talking about here? And I think it's important that we understand this. When Dave Hunt, I saw Dave Hunt, I've backpacked with Dave Hunt in the past. I've contributed material for his book, for instance, America, the Sorcerer's Apprentice. He came over to my home with Tom McMahon when Lisa and I were newly married about 5 years ago. No, that would be a lot longer than that, wouldn't it? We lived in a Wood Ranch apartment, actually, and Dave came over, and I love Dave. And I still say I love him because he's still alive, and I believe he's with the Lord in heaven. Great man of God. Tom McMahon, wonderful man too. But I'll tell you what, and we've had Tom speak here a couple times in the past. I don't know if he'll speak here again after our new video came out, Left Behind, Led Astray. We'll see, though. But I love these guys, and I don't divide over the issue, but I believe it's important to talk about. And I don't believe pre-tribbers are the only ones that should be allowed to talk about it. Ha! That's the way it seems to be. You know, if they're talking about it, it's fine, but when the post-tribber brings it up, oh, you're being divisive, you know. What? Anyway, I think it's interesting because when I saw Dave speak one time, and I had to raise my hand. I didn't want to raise my hand, but I had to. Because he started saying that if you're post-tribulational, you'll be like the wicked servant who said, you can be. He didn't say you will be, but you can be like the wicked servant who says the Lord delays his coming and begins to get drunk with the drunkards and, you know, eat with, you know, or beat the maidservants. And I said, Dave, you know. And I raised my hand, and I had to challenge that. And I said, Dave, because look what happens. When the Lord returns, this guy's not ready when he comes like a thief. And what does the Lord do to him? Well, look at in verse 45 and following. He cuts him in pieces, guys. Look at verse 45. 45. But I say that slave, if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and he begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him. Notice that when he comes and he's not expected to come, it's when somebody's what? Fallen away, beating the maidservants, getting drunk. Otherwise, he'd be ready and his house would be ready. It's not saying that Jesus comes like a thief on believers who are ready. It's talking about those who are not ready. And he's getting drunk and the slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour he does not know and will cut him in what? In pieces. That'd be pretty gnarly, huh? Can you imagine me cut in pieces? And assign him a place with the unbelievers. Wow. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and continued and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. But to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. I want to ask you, you need to just think about the text. when Jesus comes back like a thief, if it's a pre-trib rapture, think about it. What happens to a servant in a pre-trib rapture who's not ready? Is he cut in pieces? No, he's left behind to go through the first 3.5 years of tribulation, which Dave Hunt wrote a whole book called Peace, Prosperity, and the Coming Holocaust, and argues that the first 3.5 years of the tribulation is peace and prosperity. He's not cut in pieces, you know? He goes through the rest of the tribulation. But Jesus here says when he comes like a thief, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to that servant who's not ready? Did he say he'll be left behind for 7 years? He'll know it says he'll be what? What's going to happen? He's going to be what? Cut in pieces and thrown with the unbelievers. Where are the unbelievers thrown? Revelation 21:8. But the unbelieving and the cowardly and so forth go to the lake of fire, it says in Revelation 21:8. That's a strong warning, guys. That's why you want to make sure you're ready. Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. So my point was, when I heard Dave say that, I go, hey, Dave, I go, the problem with what you're saying there, I go, Jesus isn't warning about a pre-trib rapture. When he says he's coming like a thief in the night there and they'll be cut in pieces, I go, no pre-trib, I can't remember my exact words, but I said this. I said, if it was pre-trib, he wouldn't be cut in pieces. It's talking about his second coming there, because when he comes back at the end of the world, that's when he judges the wicked. And that's what happens to this guy right here. He's cut in pieces and put with the unbelievers. Dave's response was simply this. He dismissed it by saying, that's your interpretation. Okay? Oh, it's a good interpretation, though. It shows you that it's not the pre-trib rapture. It shows you it's the second coming and judgment. Amen? So we had a nice little chat there. By the way, I want to show you that who is Jesus warning here, by the way? Look at verse 32 of chapter 12. Verse 32. Do not be afraid, little what? Little flock. He's warning the flock. He's warning the sheep. He's warning his own elect apostles. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. He's warning believers. He's warning believers. Verse 43. Verse 43, blessed is that slave, the servant, whom his master finds doing when he comes. He's warning his servants to continue in the faith, continue to give out meat in due season. In fact, it's interesting because when we read the warning, he says in verse 45, but if what? That slave, that servant, who's supposed to be found ready, the same servant, who can be blessed when he's ready, that slave. In fact, doulos is the Greek word for servant there or slave. And it's ho, it's that it's a specific slave, that slave. Ho doulos akenos. And it's a demonstrative pronoun. Akenos is emphasizing that Jesus has the same exact servant in view, not two different servants. Some people wrongly assume that Jesus has different servants in view here, but he has this righteous, faithful servant walking. Part of the little flock, a servant of Jesus, becomes unfaithful and then ends up not ready for his coming, is cut in pieces and thrown with the unbelievers. That's a strong warning. It's a strong warning. Alfred Edersheim, in respect to Jesus using the idea of keeping your clothes ready, being dressed in readiness, he points out, and he's a Jewish historian who died some years ago, but he was a Messianic Jew who just loved the Lord and wrote a lot of really cool things and on Israel's history and so forth. And he says, during the night, the captain of the temple made his rounds. See, the guards of the temple had to be on watch. And he says, on his approach, the guards had to rise and salute him in a particular manner. He said, any guard who fell asleep when on duty was beaten. They were beaten. Here, cut in pieces. Also, he points out that, a guard could, you know, or an older priest could just sleep on the ground of the temple. There wasn't really that temple furniture in the inner sanctum, but and lay his clothes aside. But if a guard was laying his clothes aside, guys, in fact, we're told by history, if he was caught, you know, naked or laying down, snoozing, he would only be beaten, but they'd burn his clothes. He'd be sent off in disgrace. Oh, here, if you're not ready and you don't have the garments of salvation on, you know, that were purchased through the blood of Christ, imputed righteousness of Jesus' righteousness and what he's done for us on the cross, and the imputation, I should say, or the scriptures tell us in chapter 3, verse 25, I believe, in Romans, that the propitiation is through faith, you know, that we get blessed because of our trust in what Jesus has done, and we're clothed in his righteousness. And it's interesting because when we look at this, these are very, very strong warnings. And I want to encourage you, are you looking for the signs that Jesus gave? Are you watchful? Or are you the guy who says, hey, I can be kind of violent in my life and make myself kind of like God and take things in my own hands and vengeance is mine, not the Lord's, and just do my own thing and beat the maidservants or whatever, treat people in a terrible way? Or like this guy who, you know, gets drunk with the drunkards. Oh, you know what? I don't want to miss out on the fun. I've been there, guys. It's not really a lot of fun. It ends up in turmoil. Don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's the joy, amen. Fruit of the Spirit's love and peace and joy, amen, and so forth. So we need to stick to Jesus through this. So in our first look at the first reference that Jesus makes regarding coming like a thief in the night in his ministry, it's the thief coming to leave you behind for 7 years, or the thief when he comes and you're not ready, cutting you in pieces and throwing you with the unbelievers. No, it's cutting you pieces, throwing the unbelievers, and that happens at the second coming of Christ when he comes in fiery judgment, amen? Not 7 years earlier. The second reference, which is very similar to this, although it's even clearer because it's in the context of, in relationship to, the tribulation period. Go to Matthew chapter 24, back up a book, a couple books, Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. And when you get there, look at verse 43. Here we see Jesus says, verse 43, but be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the what? The alert. And would have not allowed his house to be broken into. In other words, guess what? You don't know the day and the hour, but relative, as you're going to see, to what Jesus teaches about the end times, you should know generally what time he's coming and be ready and have your house prepared. Have your spiritual house prepared. Amen. Have your rooms cleaned out because you're living for Jesus. Amen. Now, let's look at the context here, which I think is key. Context, context, context. Important. Absolutely important. When Jesus talks about himself coming like a thief here, and he does give some strong warnings about being ready. In fact, in verse 36, back up a little bit. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not in the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Jesus is God the Son, but he veiled some of his glory when he came to earth. But here, look at verse 36. But of that day. Of what day? What's he talking about? But of that day. When Jesus says of that day, what day is he talking about? His coming, right? How do we know? Because this verse is not said in the vacuum. The context. We know the context because in verse 3, the disciples asked him a three-pronged question. When will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming? Sign. And the end of the age. They believed in signs that led up to his coming, not a signless coming. And he told them to about all these signs that would take place. So when verse 36 says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, of what day? His coming. We don't know the day and hour, therefore he gives us these signs that lead up to it. So be ready. And while we don't know the day and hour, guess what we do know? When it will be relative to the tribulation. See, they'll say, so no one knows the day and the hour, so it can happen any moment. Like a thief. But back up a few verses to verse 29. And what does Jesus say there, guys? Come on. Jesus says, but immediately what? After the tribulation. After the tribulation. Of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky. Those are some signs, huh? And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And the sign, and the sign, and the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet. So much for silence. So much for secret. And they will gather, because even though the tribe of the world will mourn, they'll see it. That's not going to happen in the pre-trib rapture. It's invisible. Dave Hunt's even suggested, or many in the pre-trib, I should say, camps, it's UFOs. And Dave Hunt says even the clothes will be taken. People wonder what happened. No. In fact, Revelation 1:7, Jesus said, "Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye will see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kings of the earth shall wail because of him." So amen. Verse 31, "And they will send forth his angels and with a great trumpet, and they will" what? "Gather together." A Greek verb related to when Paul said concerning Christ coming, are being gathered together to him regarding the church's rapture and how it wouldn't be before the Antichrist. And by the way, Jesus has the Antichrist emerging in verse 15, 16 verses or so before this. And this is after the tribulation, verse 29. "And he will send forth his angels and with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." Verse 36. "But of that day," what day? His coming immediately, what? After the tribulation, guys. What I find funny is my preacher brethren love to say, no one knows the day and the hour. You know? It's coming like a thief. That means any moment. And I ask him, I say, wait a second. I remember Kirk Cameron. He had heard some of my tapes on the time of the rapture. It was just after the first Left Behind, he's the star of the Left Behind movies, came out. And he was like, wow, I'm the pre-trib guy, he said. And I know it's post now from listening to tapes and searching the scripture. But I saw him sometime later. I got together with him a couple times, and he said, and we're both invited to speak at a crisis pregnancy clinic together. And we sat down in a kind of a lunch to get ready for that. The head of the CPC at the time, crisis pregnancy clinic, got us together. And he said, "Hey, Joe," he goes, I'm still post-trib. And one of the last times I talked to him on this, he said, "I'm more post-trib than ever." But he said, "Joe," he goes, "but one of my pre-trib friends keeps using no one knows the day and the hour and so forth." And he's been hammering me on that. And I took him to Matthew 24 in front of the CPC gal who was there and was strongly pre-trib, I found out. And I said, "Hey, look, let's look at these verses." I go, "Look, of that day and hour, what's he talking about? Back up." Kirk just got it right away. Like, obviously, okay, that's pretty clear, you know. But I find it interesting that when you give the warnings in Matthew chapter 24 to pre-tribs about the coming Antichrist, the abomination of desolation, let those who are in Judea run to the mountains and so forth, and you show them what Jesus says to his apostles who were instructed to teach this to the church in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, 18 through 20, they say, "Oh no, this isn't for the church." Even though that's what the church believed it was for them for 1,800 years before Darby and hyper-dispensationalism arose. It was always understood to be the church. And I say, okay, if this isn't for the church, quit using these verses then. No one knows the day and the hour, thief of the night. For the church then. They want to cherry pick this and say this is for the church and this verse is for the church. But these ones that warn what we'll go through, they're not for the church. Don't you see a little bit of inconsistency there, brothers and sisters? Come on, man. That's messed up. You can't do that. That's not good exegesis. You're cherry picking something you said has nothing to do with the church. And they, oh, these verses have something to do with the church. Because I like these verses. And that's part of the problem today in the church. Your average teacher on TBN, many of them and so forth, love to quote the promises but not the warnings. We love, "Bless me, bless me, bless me, Lord." But we like to avoid the verse that says, "All those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Oh no, God wants the church healthy and wealthy and so forth. And, you know. And a lot of pre-tribs, by the way, leaders shun that the faith, that the health and wealth gospel to their credit. But there's a little bit of a version of that with the pre-trib teaching. And a lot of people in the health and wealth gospel movement, most of them are pre-trib, by the way. Because I believe the scriptures warn that in the last days, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, Paul warned Timothy, "Preach the word in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering doctrine." He said, for the time is going to come, the last days, when people will turn their ears from the truth. They won't endure sound doctrine. They'll want to have their ears tickled, and they'll gather up to themselves. Many teachers will tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. And I tell you what, it sounds good. Come to Jesus, man. You'll never be sick again. Come to Jesus and you're going to be rich. And they come to Jesus on that basis. Have they really repented? Have they really turned to Jesus with saving faith? And then they go through a crisis and they don't get as rich as the evangelist who, they're paying for his big mansion because they're sowing in his ministry. He tells them they'll get 100-fold back. Or they go through a trial and they get sick and then they abandon Jesus based on that. Hey, that's not what I signed up for. And while many pre-tribs, to their credit, don't teach that, many do teach, hey, come to Jesus and you won't have to go through the tribulation. In fact, Kirk Cameron, when he was with Tim LaHaye after the Left Behind movie came out, and they were in the speaking circuit or prior to that time and just after, you know, that was one of the appeals. You come to Jesus, you know, you won't have to go through the tribulation. Same thing that Thomas Ice talked about was being preached years ago. And that's not part of the gospel message, guys. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and he rose again according to the Scripture. And that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Amen? So you don't have to go to hell. Okay? God uses tribulation in our lives to bless us, to strengthen us, to make us more Christ-like. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 that we are appointed to tribulations or afflictions. We're not appointed God's wrath, and none of us will suffer God's wrath. He'll protect us from his wrath. His wrath is being revealed from heaven right now, Romans 1:18. He protects us from it. Now, what's interesting is this coming like a thief that Jesus mentions here contradicts all five features I mentioned that are in pre-trib teaching. First of all, his coming like a thief, his coming right here in second or in Matthew chapter 24 when he talks about coming like a thief in the night is not a secret coming. Look at verse 27. For just as Jesus says, and he warns about not to go after them if they say he's in the secret places, the King James, or the, you know, the inner rooms, or that he's in the wilderness, won't be a secret coming. Verse 27, for just as what? Lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be, guys. When he comes like a thief in Matthew chapter 24, it's going to be like lightning shining from the east to the west. Okay? Do you see that? And obviously, it's not only not secret, but it's not signless. It's not signless. Because when they ask him for the sign of his coming at the end of the age, he actually gives them several signs, with one very specific one. He says there'll be wars and rumors of wars, verses 6 and 7 of chapter 24. Tribulation, verse 9. A falling away, verse 10. False prophets, verse 11. An increase of lawlessness and love growing cold, verse 12. Worldwide evangelism, verse 14. The revelation of the man of sin in the temple, Revelation 24, 15, or the abomination of desolation. False signs and wonders by false Christ and false prophets in verse 24. And the sign of the Son of Man in the sky, verse 30, as Jesus calls it. All these signs herald his return as a thief in the night. So don't let anybody tell you when he comes like a thief, there's no signs prior to it. He gave a bunch of them. Amen? Are you with me? Yes. Praise God. In fact, look at verse 32 and 33. Right after he says he's coming after the tribulation, Matthew chapter 24, go ahead and look at verse 32. Verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too. When you see all these things, when you what? See what? All these things, guys. Not, don't worry, you won't see all these things. You'll be raptured first. No, when you see all these things, just like you could look at a fruit tree in the spring and know that summer's coming because the fruit tree's budding, specifically mentions the fig tree there. Many of you don't have fig trees. My mother-in-law has a fig tree I've been benefiting, reaping from lately. Not as much as I want to be because I'm doing like a low-carb deal, but I see those figs there and I did have one or two. So that you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near right at the what? Door. In other words, guess what? We're supposed to be watching for these things. And these very things that we're supposed to be watching for, the herald is coming, are what prepares us to be ready to know the thief is at the door and we can open to him. And he's not a thief to us though, right? He catches us up. We're blessed. Amen. He gathers us up. But those who aren't looking for the signs, which many pre-tribbers are teaching, being taught, they're not supposed to look for the signs for his coming. They're not going to know when he's coming like a thief, because what happens is you're not paying attention to what's going on. It seems like the Lord could be coming in a long time. You're missing signs. And guess what? That's when you begin to say, my Lord delays his coming. And begin to potentially beat the maidservants and get drunk with the drunkards. Because you're not paying attention and you're not watching for the Lord's return in the way he instructed us to. Brothers and sisters of Blessed Hope, we need to be watching for his coming like a thief in the night. And we're supposed to be watching according to Jesus, thus saith the Lord, in light of the signs, he says. And when we see all these things, we know he's right at the door. Amen? That's another reason pre-tribulationism is very dangerous. Because it teaches a signless rapture. And you lose incentive to look for his coming. In Luke's account of the Olivet Discourse, like Matthew 24, yet he gives us other details. He goes back even further and he says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's the second coming. But when these things begin to take place, when these things what? Begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. So what do we get from this? When these signs begin to take place, what are you supposed to do? And we're seeing some crazy things right now. You're supposed to straighten up, man. Knowing, man, Jesus is getting closer. Amen. Then when these things start taking place that Jesus delineates through the tribulation period, and you see all of them, then you're saying, it's right at the door. That's when his coming becomes imminent. That's when it becomes any moment. Amen. When you see all these things having come to pass. At that point, it could be any second, but only after those things. And you need to make sure you're right with God right now. You need to be straightened up right now. And even if there were no signs right now, of course, you need to always have a heart for Jesus. Amen? But those signs are supposed to give us incentive, and they herald, they point to his return. Amen? They point to his return. Now, Tommy Ice, by the way, he referenced the movie A Thief in the Night as, you know, teaching that you could, you know, there'd be this rapture, you know, you could escape the tribulation kind of thing. And Tim LaHaye mentions that Left Behind, the movie, his series was based on, or inspired at least in part, by that particular movie, A Thief in the Night, which I thought was interesting because the score, the theme song for that movie, A Thief in the Night, was by Larry Norman, and it was called I Wish We'd All Been Ready. And when you look at the lyrics, in the lyrics you have this term left behind come up more than anything else. I'm not saying it's wrong to use that, but it's not being used in its proper biblical context. But it's funny, the song itself, though, sounds more biblical than the movie or the Left Behind series. Because listen to some of his lyrics. Larry Norman writes, and this is a song that goes on during the movie. A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one is left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. That sounds more biblical. Because when Jesus comes at the end of the tribulation, right? And you rejected the gospel, and you took the mark of the beast and worshiped the Antichrist, there's no time to change your mind. Amen? But in a pre-trib Left Behind scenario, you have 7 years to change your mind. In fact, in the Left Behind series, there's chance after chance that these guys get to come to Jesus. And everybody that's following Jesus during the tribulation period are those who come to Christ because they had a second chance after he came. But the Bible says the virgins that have no oil when Jesus comes, the door's shut. They want in. He says, it's too late. Depart from me. There's no second chance after Jesus comes, guys. That's another problem with pre-tribulationism. It teaches that you get a second chance to turn to Jesus after he returns in the rapture. The Bible didn't teach that. There's a lot of very serious problems here. Serious problems in not having people prepared to face Antichrist and persecution and in the Great Tribulation. Problems in not thinking the Antichrist is the Antichrist. Problems in not watching for Jesus' signs that he told us to look for that are supposed to get us excited about his coming. And that's why the church, one of the reasons I believe the church is so asleep right now, when everybody should be freaking out more than ever and looking for Jesus and more excited about him than ever. And another problem, as I mentioned, is oh, well, if I miss the rapture, then I can get right with God. No, 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 man. Larry Norman actually had it right. There's no time to change your mind. There's no time to change your mind. The Son has come and you've been left behind. The Father spoke, the demons dined. How could you have been so blind? There's no time to change your mind. The Son has come and you've been left behind. There's no time to change your mind. The Son has come, you've been left behind. I hope we'll all be ready. You've been left behind, you've been left behind, you left behind over and over again. But what I think is interesting about this is that concept of being gathered, right, and taken is in verses 29 through 31. When is it again? Verse 29, when does that happen? Verse 29, but immediately what? After the tribulation. Now go to verse 41. 41, a little bit later. Verse 40. So there will be two men in the field. One will be taken, and one will be what? Left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would have not allowed his house to be broken into. Wow. Verse 51, and I will cut him what? In pieces, and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In his teaching in Luke 12, earlier in his ministry, he said, with the unbelievers. Here it's with the hypocrites. There's hypocrites there too. It's a separate teaching. But again, when does this take place? We don't know the day and the hour, but we know the times and the seasons. Amen? It's after the tribulation. Am I going too fast? Or are you with me? Okay. It's kind of a bad question. Because everybody that's with you says, yeah, with, yeah. It sounds like everybody's with me. And some people are like, I don't want to say, you know. Although, praise God, you guys have been bold. I've heard people yell out, slow down. Praise God. Okay. Hear that on the road sometimes too. God help me. Okay. By the way, go to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. And this is also the Olivet Discourse. Matthew recorded what Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 25. Luke and Luke 21. Mark and Mark 13. You put a harmony of the Gospels together and you see that. And you put all those texts together. You see that it's Jesus' longest message. His longest message to his apostles, the leaders of the early church, was about being prepared for his coming. And a lot of emphasis on how to endure the tribulation spiritually and not fall away. And then he said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, before he ascended to his apostles, the same people, he said to teach us, the church. He said, go into all the world, you know, making disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've what? Commanded you. That includes Matthew 24 and 25, guys. That includes Luke 21 and Mark 13, the end times. In fact, if it includes anything, it should definitely be that, should be part of it, amen? Because that was his longest message, and what he laid out not long before he was crucified, just a couple days, so we'd be ready, so we'd be aware. And then right after he says to teach it to the disciples, which would be the church, he says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, not 7 years before the end of the age, to the end of the age. And their question in Matthew 24 was, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And he brings them all the way through it. And says, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. In other words, guess what? Throughout the tribulation period, the gospel is beginning to be preached. And the end will come after it's preached. Amen? And he tells the apostles, when he gives them the great commission for the church, that he's going to be with them to the end of the age. And they need to teach what he's taught us, or taught them, I should say. By the way, well, I don't believe it applies to us. I believe it was written for Jews who come to Christ after the pre-trib rapture. Even though we still have our $10,000 because nobody was able to get our check by just showing one verse that taught pre-trib clearly in the Bible. Thomas Ice took a crack at it. That's in our video, Left Behind, Let Us Ray, Part 2. We show what he said, and I having more detail, I'm going to be posting that hopefully this week on our website. More detail as to his challenge and answering it point by point. He actually says the word that is translated fallen away. apostasy, the Greek word apostasia, which means falling away or rebellion, is translated that way in almost every version. Really, that verse speaks of the rapture. Falling away is really the rapture. Really, apostasia could mean departure, could be, and it was never used that way, guys, in the first century. It wasn't used that way for hundreds of years later. And it wasn't used of the rapture of the church hundreds of years later. It was just used of the Assumption of Mary in a non-canonical book, like 500 years later. It was never used of physical spatial departure in the first century. And even if you find an instance where it actually was, and you find one turns up, that doesn't mean that's not its normative meaning. It means defection from faith or even political rebellion sometimes, as it's used in the Septuagint, exclusively in those ways in the Greek version of the Old Testament. It's only used one other time in the New Testament other than apostasy in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. It's used in Acts 21, where Paul is being accused of causing the Jews to forsake or commit apostasy from the law of Moses. It's not used of a physical spatial departure. But I digress. In Mark 13, which is a lot like Matthew 24, rapture again, it's after the tribulation, but I want you to look at a verse, guys. Look at verse 35. Therefore, be on the what? Alert. Are you on the alert? Are you on the alert? Are you watchful? For you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether it is in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning. In case he should come suddenly and find you asleep, what I say to you, I say to who? All. Be on the alert. Now, keep in mind, guys, keep in mind, back up to verse 24. But in those days, after that what? Tribulation. He makes it clear that we're supposed to be alert for his coming after the tribulation. And he says, what I say to you, I say to who? All. How could you be looking for Jesus coming like a thief in the night in light of the signs he gave at the end of the tribulation if you're raptured 7 years earlier? You can't. And this wouldn't apply to all. Amen? The next two references are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, right after Paul talks about the rapture in chapter 4. However, as you turn your Bibles to that passage, it's good practice to turn your Bibles. We're not actually going to go into it. Because I'm looking at the time right now, and I don't want to get partway through that text, because there's a lot of really cool things about that text. So we've gone through the first couple, and the next two references are actually in a few verses. So they'll be easy to cover. And then we'll cover the rest of this next time. But so far, we looked at Luke 12, when he comes like a thief in the night. And when he comes like a thief in the night, what does he do to the person that doesn't expect him to come like a thief? To come suddenly, he cuts him up in pieces. Is that pre-trib rapture or second coming? Second coming, isn't it? Second coming. Also, in Matthew 24, when he comes like a thief in the night, is that before or does Jesus say after the tribulation? After the tribulation. By the way, I think this is refreshing and encouraging. Tommy Ice, Tim LaHaye's right-hand man, teaches. Now, I think this is interesting because Tim LaHaye uses the gospel, Luke and so forth. He uses this as evidence of a pre-trib rapture. Look what his co-founder of the Pre-Trib Research Center says on the references to Jesus coming like a thief in the light, a thief in the night in the gospels. Let's know what Tommy Ice writes, co-founder of the Tim LaHaye's Pre-Trib Research Center. Quote, Christ uses a thief coming in the middle of the night in the faithful householder illustration presented in Matthew and Luke, and he gives Matthew 24:43 and Luke 12:39. He says, neither of these texts refer to the rapture. He means the pre-trib rapture. Neither of them do, he says, of the church. Instead, both contexts support the notion that Christ's coming speaks of the second coming. Amen! It's a little off. Because it does speak of the rapture of the church. It just puts the rapture of the church when Jesus gathers us after the tribulation and one guy's in the field and the other guy's taken and one woman's, grinding, the other one's taken. Yeah, that's the rapture, all right. Amen. You won't find a rapture before that. And we need to be ready, amen. We want to make sure, brothers and sisters, we are not that servant who starts off well, excited about Jesus, knowing him, living for him, giving out his meat in due season, encouraging people in the faith. And then, We get our eyes off of what's going on in the world and how dark it is. And the fact that Jesus is not only the Savior, but Lord of all, and he's the ruler who's coming, amen? And he's going to come back and catch us up to meet him in the air. Descend with a shout, a great trumpet, which, by the way, is not a secret. The voice of the archangel, too. Set his feet on the Mount of Olives. Reign for 1,000 years and we'll reign with him. Amen. Let me weigh this out. Ignore the signs that are going on. Ignore the hope of Jesus. Start to get physical with people or just in my heart messed up toward people and unloving and get drunk with the drunkards. And get cut in pieces and thrown in the lake of fire with the unbelievers forever and ever. Let me see. Or recognize how beautiful my Lord is and how awesome he is and that he is ultimately in control. And he's allowed the day of man to reign for a while. But when the day of the Lord comes, man, he is going to take over this planet. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. We're going to get new bodies and we're going to live with him forever and ever, right? And we're going to return with him after we're caught up and be with him forever and ever. Then after the 1,000 years, you know, then New Jerusalem comes out of the sky, prepared as a bride for her husband, lands on the planet. No more night, just beauty, bliss, no more tears, eternal joy. Which one sounds better? Second one, definitely, amen. What's your choice, man? My choice is to stay in love with Jesus, continue to look to him as my beautiful Lord and Savior, amen. And look at what's going on and say, he's getting closer. Straighten up. Look, for your redemption is drawing nigh. And then after all these signs have happened, I know he's at the door. I'm not caught off guard. When he comes, praise God, I'm waiting for him. Amen. What it means to wait for him is not to get on your roof and look out. Whew. It means to be living for him. It means to be walking in the faith. Amen. It needs to be trusting Jesus. Some people thought it means to get up on your roof and, man, I just got to do it every day. No. He told us the signs that would happen first. He said, occupy until I come. Amen. Let's get the gospel out there. As Peter said, hasten the coming of the day of the Lord. Hasten his coming. Speed it up. How do you speed it up? Because Jesus said, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world, witnessed to all the nations, then what will happen? The end will come. Paul said, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, that last Gentile comes in, the deliverer will come from Zion and turn ungodliness from Jacob. Amen. That last Gentile. Don't be that last Gentile, guys. Make sure you come to Jesus. Don't hold up his second coming. Amen. We don't want to wait too long. Amen. Come to Jesus if you don't know him. Not so you escape tribulation. You will have tribulation. How many know that as Christians? You will still go through some trials. And the Bible warns about the coming great tribulation. But you can be assured of this, that God will work all things together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And he will not allow you to go through more than you are able to handle, but by his grace and by his spirit, which will be more than sufficient for you, he'll get you through anything, high water, fire, whatever, amen? He loves you. We're not appointed to his wrath. We're appointed to salvation. And we look forward to that day when Jesus comes back, amen? He is coming like a thief, not any moment after the signs he's given, but we should look at those signs and be more excited about the fact that he's coming back and be ready so when he comes back, it won't come back to us like a thief, amen? We'll be at the door standing waiting for him, amen? And be caught up to be with him forever and ever. Praise God. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to come to him. Not so you can escape the tribulation, but so you can escape the wrath of God. So that you can escape the fiery judgment when he comes back again and eternal hell. You need to make sure that you realize that you're a sinner and that you deserve to be judged. And you deserve, like all of us, to be damned because of your sins. But Jesus, in his great love for you, went to the cross to pay for the penalty that you and I deserve. And he took our fine and paid it. So if we recognize we're sinners, we humble ourselves before God. The Bible says he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. If you admit you're a sinner and that you can't save yourself, and it's by his grace that you need what he did on the cross for you, and you call upon him, the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You'll receive the free gift of salvation. Amen. So I want to encourage you right now to repent and put your faith in Jesus if you haven't done that yet. If you have done that, Be a faithful servant, amen, to the end. Don't fall asleep spiritually. Abide and endure to the end as Jesus commanded. In Jesus' name, amen.